building a program at Monterey, back on the court excitement in Baxter, replacing talent in Sparta. Week one of the high school basketball season in the books. We're here to get you ready for what we can expect during the course of the next several months. Welcome to the High School Playbook on Rock 93.7. Last year was such an amazing year for Upper Cumberland High School basketball, and yet we all feel like we didn't get to see where it would have finished with the COVID-19 outbreak that ended the state basketball tournaments. So what about this 2020-2021 season? Today we'll talk Upperman, Monterey, Clay County, White County basketball, among others. Let's start with the B's of head coach Bobby McWilliams. Unfinished business, oh yeah, that's on their mind after making it to the state tournament last year before it was shut down because of COVID-19. Bobby says he's just glad to be back on the court prepping for a new season.
Well, the energy is really high. I mean, they're just happy to, they're happy to be there. They understand, you know, we've been through it. You know, our season was canceled last year, so we know that we just can appreciate one day at a time. And they've taken on that attitude, and you know, it's just been really enjoyable to watch them have fun and being in the gym again.
I have to ask, when everything was locked down back in March and April, did you ever expect that we would get to this point where we're preparing for a season and it looks like it's going to happen?
Well, we were hopeful. You know, we were hopeful. Of course, it took some time for us to get over, you know, losing the last part of our season, the way it went down. But, you know, there for about a 2-week period, you know, this team went through a lot. And, you know, I know everybody across the country went through, you know, COVID and COVID shutdowns and things of that nature. But when you're talking about just the sport itself, we had the tornado, and then, you know, a couple weeks later, we're just all of a sudden our season comes to an abrupt end. We it took a while for our kids to kind of understand that and kind of absorb that. But, you know, we discussed it and talked about it numerous times, and they're at peace with it, I think. But, you know, still we have a little unfinished business that we would like to try to, you know, to finish up, at least give ourselves an opportunity to. And but, you know, we're just appreciative that we get an opportunity, even if it's just one day at a time, and that's kind of our approach right now.
Looking at this year's team, I know you've got to replace two key contributors on last year's team in Donovan McAllister and Philip Babich. A lot of people might look at that and go, well, you're only having to replace two players. A lot of teams have to replace more. But I know for you specifically, these guys were more than just two players.
Absolutely. You know, both of those two guys, you know, Donovan was a starter for us as a sophomore, and Phil started last year. So really, we lost, you know, two starters basically. We had six. We rotated in and out, but they brought so much more that you know, people just from the outside don't really realize. And we're looking forward to, you know, what's ahead. But we will definitely miss what those two brought to the table. You know, you can't replace good players. You just have to kind of, you know, your team takes another identity a little bit. But we're definitely going to miss what they did last year. But we have some guys that didn't get as much playing time last year who have really worked hard and are ready for the challenge. We're excited about where they're at and what they can do. And they're going to get an opportunity to, you know, to prove that their hard work has paid off for them. You know, our team identity will be a little bit different, obviously. But we do have some guys coming in that we feel like are ready to step in and lift their game and step up a little bit for us.
A lot of teams aren't blessed with the kind of size you guys had last year. And while you do lose Phillip, and that's a big loss, I feel like having a guy like Kaysen Grissom is something a lot of teams would kill for. Having that kind of extra big man on the bench that if there's foul trouble, you can throw him in there and there's not much of a drop-off, if any at all. How much of a bigger role you see him having this year?
Absolutely. We're excited about where he's at. You know, he's matured a lot physically. You know, his basketball understanding has really developed a bunch. He was in a tough situation last year. He had to play spot minutes, on a really deep team, and you know, he's definitely going to be counted on to play, you know, quite a bit more this year. And we expect good things out of him. And he's really had a good offseason working. He's spent a lot of time working at home, working on his own. And he's really developed as a player. And he sure has been impressive in his first 4 days of practice. So we're really excited about him. And, you know, then we've got Jackson Fox, who came in, who played quite a bit down the stretch for us last year. Jackson's really worked hard on his body, gotten a lot stronger physically. He's, you know, he's a lot better now than he was last year. But he's worked hard as well, so we're expecting big things out of him. And just pretty excited about what's coming on. Those guys have really improved in the off season. Just a year older, more mature has helped them a bunch.
You stole my next question there about Jackson, so I'll move on from there. He was someone we talked about a lot, especially near the end of last year, because he really put in some big minutes off the bench. How much of a challenge is that sixth man role? It seems like it fits him really well and that he's able to come off the bench, provide good energy, and warm up really quickly. But how much of a challenge is that sixth man role?
Well, you know, for some players, you know, it's easy. You can sit and watch and see what the flow of the game is, and when you get in, you can bring, you know, your ability and your talent into the game and change it, speed it up, slow it down, or just, you know, give an added dimension. And Jackson was able to do that last year off the bench, which was huge for us. You know, so for us, our kids who are coming in, you know, off the bench, they played a significant role, and we expect that this year. So, you know, we've got another couple of kids. Cody Carter's back with us, and we expect a lot out of him. And then A.J. Nash is a sophomore who had a really good offseason, played a lot of AAU this past year. So we're expecting quite a bit out of him. And then we've got John Alexander and Rex Davis, who, too, are going to be, you know, fighting for playing time, and they offer something that maybe those other guys don't at times. So right now we've got, you know, 10 solid returning guys from last year's team that, you know, they're going to have a significant role in what we do at some point in time. So, you know, the bench to us is as important as the five guys that start. We just got to figure out what that is and kind of get in there and get a little bit more comfortable and those kind of things. But we're excited about where we're at. We'll just have to see, you know, if we can put it together.
Quarterfinal action around the state of Tennessee last night on the road to Cookeville. Scoreboard powered by East Tennessee Dodge from UC Sports Nation. Gordonsville found itself eliminated by South Pittsburgh in the 1A ranks. Final score, South Pittsburgh 37, Gordonsville 7. Quite the battle in 2A between Trousdale County and Watertown, two teams that our Upper Cumberland teams know well. Trousdale County will move on to the semifinals. They win 21-13. 6A football. Cookeville, Warren County's rivals, Oakland and Riverdale faced off. Oakland takes the win, 39-14. Perennial power, Maryville wins over Dobbins Bennett, 35-28. And so the pairings are set for the semifinals next Friday night in 1A football. Coalfield will be at South Pittsburgh, Fayetteville at Lake County. Two teams moving on to come to the Upper Cumberland 2 weeks from now for the Blue Cross Blue Shield Bowl. In 2A football, Meigs County will visit Trousdale County, while Peabody will host Waverly. 3A, Alcoa is at Red Bank next Friday night, while Pearl Cone will visit Milan. The TSSAA 4A semifinals next Friday night. Elizabethton, perfect on the season, visiting Nolensville, while Lexington will be at Haywood. 5A, South Doyle goes to Oak Ridge. Henry County will host Summit next Friday night. And in the 6A ranks, it's undefeated Maryville, undefeated Oakland. Showdown in 6A for the chance to come to Cookeville for the state championship. Also next week in 6A, Brentwood will take on Bartlett. We are 2 weeks away from the best in the state coming to Cookeville for the Blue Cross Blue Shield Bowl. The Eaglets of Van Buren County bringing back all but one senior from last year's team, a squad that went 19-10. The high school playbook rolls on as we bring aboard head coach Tyler Sapp. Many schools having to replace multiple players this year, but Tyler has that luxury of having his main leaders back.
Yeah, it's great. We just graduated one, so it's good when you can bring back most of your kids because they know what's going on. They know the offense for the most part. They've played together. They play well together. So it's a big advantage for us, especially when we've not been able to play any summer games or preseason or anything like that.
I know that obviously there will still be, as there is in every new season, there's rust that'll have to be knocked off and, you know, girls will have to kind of get back into that basketball shape. But that does help a lot with continuity in the systems, though, that you get to bring back everybody that kind of knows what they're doing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we had a game last night and the first half was very rusty, very, they was very nervous, very jittery because they ain't played a game in 9 months, so.
I feel like last year's team put together a really, really solid season. Obviously, you went 19-10, and that included a stretch where you won 11 of 13 games. What do you think went right kind of down the home stretch of last year?
After Christmas, we changed our offense just a tad bit, and we moved our post from strong side to weak side, and I think that was the biggest thing for us offensively. We finally started to click offensively, and put that help defender in a bind there. And making them make a decision when we drive, because we got some good ball handlers, we got some good drivers, and anytime you know that help defender steps over, we've got an option there to dump off. So that helped tremendous for us because we were scoring up over 45, 50 points a night, and we were undefeated last year when we scored over 50. Besides the district championship game against Whipple, so if we score, we're very tough to beat.
One thing that also stuck out to me when I looked at this team last year was that this team never really gave up a ton of points. They were always really tough at the defensive end of the floor. What makes your team so stout at that end?
Well, we preach all the time, limit them to one shot as much as possible. Make them take long contested shots and then pull the rebound. Rebound is a huge point of emphasis for me because, like I said, we allow them to get more shots. It's more chance they get to score, and that's tougher. It's tougher to guard people that get offensive rebounds, to get kickouts, that kind of stuff. So we really want to limit them to one shot, and then make them take the shot that we want them to take. And we mix it up. We play a lot of different defenses, but our 2-3 is very, very funky for a lot of people. It's got a lot of motion, a lot of action to it, and it kind of makes them stall the ball, not really be able to swing the ball around quick that you can punish a zone with. It may have to sit there and hold it and think for a second. So I think that's a big advantage for us.
How important is it, especially with how in the modern age of basketball now, offense seems to be prioritized, and it's like that across all sports now, it seems like, that offense is prioritized and you need to put up a lot of points in order to win, but defense is just as important, if not more important, to a team's success.
Yeah, and that's the thing that we try to tell our kids all the time is that defense is just as important, if not more important, but you don't have to be very skilled to play defense. Like, you have to be skilled to score. Like, there's no doubt about it. You're going to have a shot. You're going to have a move to do something. Defense, you don't have to be that skilled to play defense. You just got to work hard and put yourself in a good position.
So, for people that are following this program, should they expect more of the same this year since you're bringing a lot of these players back? Should they expect that same defense and expect it to be, if anything, even more tough?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we can increase our win count from last year and be very tough to beat. And I mean, obviously, you don't want to look ahead to anything, but I mean, you know, we've not been able to make it to the semifinals of the region once since we've been in that new region, and that's a goal for us every year. I think if we can make it to the semifinals in the region tournament, then that's our goal. Obviously, if we can do more, then that's great. But we would like to get that region tournament win underneath our belt because our region is so tough. That's one thing that we've always played that game, region quarterfinal game, really tough. We just ain't been able to get over that hump yet, and that's kind of our. I mean, regardless of how many games we win, that's the game we want to win. I know, obviously, the district championship, but we want to get to that region semifinals.
When you look at this year's team, what's one quality about them that really excites you?
Just how close they all are. I know that's like really cliche and stuff, but they're all really good friends. They all play well together. They've all played together for a very long time, and they just mesh very well together. Because I've had teams in the past where half the team didn't get along, half of them didn't like each other, and it's just a struggle for me to get through the year like that. When everybody gets along, everybody's having, and everybody likes each other, everything just goes so much smoother. And you don't have to worry about all this other little stuff. You can just worry about basketball.
When I look at specific players, I don't think there's a better fit for the point guard role than Emma Scoggins. I feel like she sees the floor really well. She facilitates the offense. Not as good as anyone in the Upper Cumberland, really. What makes her a great fit in your system?
She's just tenacious. She makes the right read when she needs to, but she's got a fight and a drive in her that, I mean, she just don't quit. No matter how many mistakes she makes or whatever she does wrong, she's right. I mean, she'll dive on the ball. She'll get after it. And that's, you know, that's what you want to see. We can live with mistakes, but when you pout about it, that's when we're in trouble. If you make a mistake, get on the ball. And that's one of the things that she does so well. She don't let it get under her skin. She just plays harder.
Head coach Tyler Sapp from Van Buren County. The Monterey Lady Wildcats used last year as a developmental season for younger players. They have four seniors they have to replace. More playing time, more opportunities. Head coach Mark Sims says yes.
Well, it's going to be a challenge. Anytime you have to replace, girls that have had that much experience, and all four of those seniors were factors for us since their freshman year. So, leadership is always an issue when you're having to replace that many seniors, and. So it's going to be a challenge, but I think we'll be fine.
I've heard a lot of coaches say this, that when you lose seniors who are good leaders, you don't really replace them per se, or you can't really plan to replace them. You kind of have to just plan to adapt and, run with what you've got now instead of what you had. Is that true?
That's absolutely true. Yeah, you've got to, my feelings anyways are that you've got to look at what you have, and you've got to try to build something for them that works for them. It's not a one-size-fits-all, sport, for sure.
When you have a young team, I know a lot of people kind of look at that as a negative because there's growing pains, there's learning that has to happen on the fly, and you have all that. But I feel like a plus side is these kids get to play together and build that chemistry on the court.
Yeah, it's exciting to know that you've got young kids. The most exciting aspect of it for me is to know that, really there's one way to go, and that's up.
How important is kind of having that positive mentality? Because I know that nobody enjoys losing. At least I don't think anybody does. I mean, if there are people out there that do, I mean, that's kind of surprising. But is that positivity important when kind of the losses feel like they kind of pile up, but you've got to keep preaching that it's for the future, it's for the long term?
Yeah, for me, it means everything. Attitude is 90% of it. And last year we did a good job. We kept a good attitude. We won a few games, and we were in a lot of games, 3, 4, 5 point losses. And those are tough. And part of that last year was, we were trying to learn how to win. And we got better at it, and we're going to continue to get better at that this year.
When you look at the group you've got coming back, what aspect of this team excites you the most?
We have talked a ton in this, I call it preseason, if you can call it that, but we've talked a ton in this preseason about knowing your roles. And this group that I've got right now has done an incredible job of that. At least through practice in the first game, they did a good job at that. They know what their individual roles are, and a lot of times I think that's the hardest thing for a team to overcome is people knowing what the role is and being good with that.
Does it just add clarity kind of when everyone kind of knows where they're supposed to be, where they're at on the floor, what their role is? Does it just kind of add that clarity to make things a little bit easier for them?
It does. They know what this is a smart group of girls I got. Mm-hmm. And individually, they know what I expect out of each one of them. And we've spoke about what they do well and what they need to work on. There's certain girls that I want to go out there and be that defender for me, And they understand that, hey, I still need to score. I still need to take my open shots. I still need to do things offensively. But coach wants me to be that defensive stopper. You got girls that that you depend on to go get rebounds for you. And then you've got girls that you expect to go and they're going to have to score points for you. And when they know their job and I know their job and we're all on the same page, it makes things so much easier.
I feel like one of those girls that's going to be relied on to score this year, she did a little bit of that last night, was Mackenzie Rowley. Obviously, she scored 17 last night against Bledsoe County. Mm-hmm. What are some of your expectations for the kind of season she should have?
Mackenzie's a great girl. She's a great leader. She's a natural leader. And the girls look to her as the leader, and she accepts that role and takes it on. So she's going to have a good year. We've got other leaders on the team also, but she really likes that role. And like I said earlier about the girls knowing their roles, they understand that that is her role.
How important on young teams, and I know it's vitally important, but if you can put it into words, how important is it on young teams to have that voice in the locker room like Mackenzie or like any of your other leaders where, you know, when things might not be going the way they want, they're able to look to these girls for that guidance that have been through this before?
It's huge. It's huge. You know, before the game, we all, you know, pregame stuff, we always put stuff on the board, kind of points of emphasis for that particular game. And last night, like any other night, one of those points was be a great teammate. And it's exciting to see when a girl scores a bucket on the floor for you and four other girls go give her a high five. Or when a girl goes and makes a big stop at the next time out, they're all telling her what a great stop it was. And then on the flip side of that, when somebody makes a bad play, to have that leader to step up and say, hey, you got it next time. Let's go. You got to keep playing, you know. And it's a lot easier to keep from getting dragged down by mistakes when you've got somebody out there that's a positive influence.
Looking at the rest of your players, who are some players that you think that maybe they didn't have a big role last year, but you think they'll take a big step this year? Who are some of those players?
Yeah, there's several of them. You know, we've got a group. There's a group of seven-ish girls. That it's going to be a night by night basis on which one of those girls has the hot hand that night and steps up. Several of those are sophomores this year. Adeline Klaus is the first one that comes to mind. She's a junior for us this year. She got minutes last year and played good, but she's looked really good here in this in the off season, and she played well last night. She missed a few easy buckets that, if she wouldn't have missed those, we'd be looking at her box score saying, wow, you know, she had a really good game, but she did have a good game and I expect her to do that all year long. Lindsay Wright's another one. She's going to be big for us. I could just keep going down the list. Jordan Walker, you know, had a couple girls that didn't get to play much at all last year that came in and gave us, minutes during crucial times last night and really did well.
Mark Sims, head coach of the Monterey Wildcats. Let's talk some Clay County girls basketball as the high school playbook rolls on our 2020-2021 basketball preview. The Lady Bulldogs getting set to compete in one of the toughest districts in the state of Tennessee, with teams like Clark Range and Pickett County consistently among the best in the state. Head coach Matthew Walker is thankful he's got almost everybody back returning.
They're very excited. Now that conditioning's over, they're ready to hit the gym full force and try to improve. We had a lot of experience coming back this year, so they're all a whole lot more confident than they was this time last year.
I think there's generally a kind of a misunderstanding about how different conditioning is from normal practice. Can you put that into words, kind of how those two are really nothing alike, even though I think sometimes people think, oh, well, if you're conditioning and running, that might as well be the same as practice. But I know it's not that at all, right?
No, to me, the mental side of conditioning is a whole lot more important than just the running up and down. You know, you can play 5-on-5 pickup, but the mental side of it is the pushing myself to its limits and, you know, being willing to not quit when times get tough and, you know, beating certain running time goals and you're competing against the clock, you're competing against each other. So it's definitely different.
You mentioned, Coach, that you're in a really, really, really good position because while a lot of teams have to replace a lot of talent from last year, you get to bring back almost all of your major contributors from a season ago. How much easier does that make kind of the prep for the upcoming season, knowing you'll have a lot of familiar faces?
Having that experience is definitely huge. You know, anytime you're playing older girls, it definitely makes a big difference as well. You know, having some juniors and seniors that have got some playing time now is going to help. Plus, their leadership, being a year older, is definitely noticeable this year that they're taking more of an ownership and a leadership role.
When you compare it to how you prepared last season, how big of a difference is it?
Well, of course, we had a summer last year. We had a summer, and then we had some scrimmages. Mm-hmm. So this year with the quarantine and the corona stuff, you know, we don't have that summer ball. We don't have preseason ball. But I feel like we're in a pretty good position where we do have so many players returning that they know the system pretty well and they know each other's strengths and weaknesses pretty well. So I'm hoping that helps us carry through the first couple weeks till we can get some more real practices under our belt.
Looking back at when everyone was kind of locked down back in April, did you ever think we'd get to this point with just the way 2020 has been?
I wasn't sure. I always thought it really depended on football. You know, if football had a successful season and was able to go uninterrupted, I thought we'd have a good chance. But I knew, you know, from the get-go that if football was doomed, that nobody would probably play.
Now, looking back at last year, there's a lot of performances that stick out on your schedule last year and moments that I feel like should build a lot of confidence for your players. I think the ones early on that stuck out to me were how close you guys played teams like Clark Range and Macon County early in the season. And then later in the year, you played Clark Range again, and you locked them down in the fourth quarter to win a close game. How much do performances like that help a young team build confidence?
Well, we've always had the potential to play with and beat anybody. I think growing from that young team last year to a more experienced team this year, we're just searching for that consistency level to be able to win games when nights or shots are not falling and maybe that we get behind early versus take a lead early. So we're trying to build that consistency this year and hope that comes with age.
Staying on that Clark Grange game, that second one, I feel like that's a game that a lot of people in the Upper Cumberland should look at as this is why you prioritize defense because – you don't see many games in the modern day way of playing basketball where there's 77 total points scored in a game. And I feel like is that kind of a sign that defense can sometimes be swept under the rug and maybe not prioritized like offense is?
Well, especially from the Clark Range standpoint because, you know, they typically average, you know, up in the 70s. You've got so many good teams around here, Clark Range, Pickett, Macon County on our schedule. All the teams in the Upper Cumberland are so talented that it's hard for me as a coach to tell our girls to go out there and just flat out outscore them. You've kind of got to hang your hat on something. And for us, the past few years, that's been our defense and our grittiness.
Is emphasizing that defense, does it help to also kind of say that, hey, if we're able to force turnovers, if we force bad shots from the other team, we're able to then kind of get out, run a little bit, and get some momentum going on offense?
Yeah, I think so. And good defensive performances really inspire us. We've got several girls now that want to take on the leadership role of defense. They want to guard the other team's best players. They're not scared of a challenge, and I feel like that's a part that's kind of come with age as well, that they've been in those big games and they've played against really good players, whether through AAU or whether through the battles in this district. I feel like we're more prepared this year.
Looking at this year's team now, it all starts on offense with Rachel Copas. And last year when I asked you about her, it was as simple as she's the point guard and she makes us go. What's her biggest attribute or her biggest strength? Is it her ability to lead the team when things are chaotic? Is it how she sees the floor? What do you see as her biggest strength?
I think she sees the floor better than any kid I've ever coached and probably better than any kid in the Upper Cumberland. And I'd put her up against anybody statewide. She sees the floor so well, more so than stuff I don't even see as a coach. You know, she sees it and just makes it happen.
Then from there, you've got your other senior on the wing in Katie Arms, and people have asked me about players they should watch in the Upper Cumberland and who I think they should keep an eye on. I frequently mention Katie just because of her high motor and her scoring ability. How big of a year do you think she's primed to have?
I was really pleased with her breakout year last year. I knew she had the potential to be a really good player, but last year kind of snuck up on me as well in terms of her breakout year. This year, just watching her in the open gyms and watching her in some shooting sessions, she's added even more to her game. She's a hard worker, so you know she's going to improve every year. But I definitely think she's going to stand out this year.
Do you think there's less pressure on her now also that she's, you know, committed to Freed Hardeman and there's no longer any worry about playing for a scholarship, that the future is kind of taking care of itself and she can focus on now?
Whether it's less pressure or whether it's just a boosted confidence, I definitely see an improvement since she has signed and got that out of the way. I'm not sure if she's just playing free or more confident or what it is, but there's definitely a noticeable difference.
And one player that I think, in my opinion, typifies what this team is about more than any other is Eliza Jenkins. She's tough-nosed, she's competitive, loves playing lockdown defense on the other team's best player, and even if they score, she's making them earn it. Does having an upperclassman like her, having a junior like her now, does that help drive home the point of having defense as the primary focus?
Definitely. All of our upperclassmen have to be committed to defense, and that's something they go through starting as freshmen. It's drilled into them starting as freshmen, and by the time they're juniors and seniors, they've really bought into it.
And finally, we can't talk about this team and talk about individual players without mentioning sophomore Briley Burchett. Because there were games last year where she single-handedly dominated on offense. She took matters into her own hands and she made things happen when they needed to. You did mention to me last year you wanted to see her maybe take a few more threes. Have you seen that improvement kind of in open gyms? Have you seen her kind of add that to her game?
Oh, yeah. Briley had that skill set last year, and I don't know if it's just where she was a freshman or what. But she's definitely feel more comfortable out of the perimeter this year. She's handling the ball a little bit more. She's making better decisions. I think her game is going to continue to grow and evolve over the next couple of years.
Hoop season is underway across the Upper Cumberland. We're getting set for the action. Week one in the books. The high school playbook rolls on as we bring aboard head coach Chris Sullins of the Warren County Pioneers. Last year, 10-2 over the final 12 games of the season. They win the district championship. Now with their point guard and leading scorer both returning, Chris Sullins excited to see what this team could do in 2021.
We've had a pretty good week of practice as far as I think our kids are excited to get back on the floor. You know, that being said, we've got a good mood in Warren County for the last 8 to 10 weeks where the football team is very successful. So, you know, I guess if I could say there, our mood's really – really positive at the moment, and we can't wait to get some of these football guys back, like CJ and Aiden Cummings and Dante Elam. You know, when we get them back in the mix, I think that we'll even have better practices going forward.
Like you actually stole my next question there. I know you're awaiting some of these kids to finish up with football so they can join y'all full time. Tell me, does it get anxious at all watching them on the field on Friday night?
There's some nights that you're very alert and you understand what's at stake there. But that being said, I mean, hey, it's great when you have multi-sport athletes, and we've got a couple of them, or more than a couple. We've got 3 or 4 multi-sport athletes that shine on in any sport that they play. So have there been nights that we've said some prayers and those type things when they're going up against the Riverdale and Oaklands? I'd be lying if I said that we didn't. But that being said, excited to see what they do in the playoffs. And, you know, then when they get done, we're excited to see how they're going to help us going forward.
This is one of the best teams in the state last year for the last couple of weeks of the season, and it led to a district title. It led to a home region game. Are you still somewhat in awe kind of what this group accomplished last year?
In some ways, I am, based on this. 30 days earlier, we were not playing good basketball. I think we had kind of hit a wall. I think a little bit of it was what we're talking about right now. We have a lot of multi-sport athletes that had stepped on the playing field back in August or September. But if you go all the way back, you know, they're doing football, you know, maybe at the end of April, 1st of May, and then we step on the floor in May with some practices, and you're going to summer camps, and then 7-on-7. And I think some kids at some point in time, I don't want to say they got burnt out, but I think we just hit a wall. We went to Stone Memorial, you know, about middle of January right there. Didn't play well at all. I thought it was probably one of the worst basketball games we played all year, and I thought it was one of the worst performances we had had at Warren County since I'd been there. We were really we really struggled a little bit. We had 2 or 3 good practices, and then the snowball effect just started taking place. You know, we got a win at Ray County, and then before you know it, we beat Kugler home, and then we're in the district finals, and then you're playing the number 1 team in the state in the region semifinals. So I don't know if all is the right choice of words. I would say this. It was pleasantly surprising
how it turned around and how quick it did, because I do think we were playing really good basketball by, you know, at the end of the year, no doubt.
Looking at this year's team, obviously you're bringing a very, very hefty part of that core back. Well, you mentioned guys, you know, with CJ and Caden, or and you know, Aiden Cummings and D. Spates. You guys are having to replace a couple seniors from last year, and guys like LeCedric Cox and Irving Espinoza, Grant King, and of course, who could forget Trevor? But there are many teams that have to replace more players quantity wise. When you look at the quality of that group, I know they're more than that for you, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they've. What they have accomplished on the athletic fields and floors in Warren County, this group is second to none in the last 2 to 3 decades. There's no doubt about it. First of all, they're great young men. They've got winning attitudes and winning mindsets, and I think that started early on. You know, winning breeds winning, and I don't ever say that winning at the middle school level translates to the high school level, but I will say this. I do think that those kids expect to win, and they've expected to win from day one, and that's really helped us. And then I think they're hungry. I think they're a group of young guys that like proving people wrong, and so, you know, so to speak. I mean, for many years, Warren County, when it came to athletics, was probably not one of the names that was on the tip of your tongue when you talked about being competitive. And I think that they and some groups that came before them have really helped change that. So, and that's good to see, because I can say this. I think the way we started practice this week, our kids in some way just had a different mindset than maybe we did when we walked in the door 4 to 5, 6 years ago.
Of the guys you do bring back, I feel like Caden Rutledge is the one that kind of flies under the radar. I feel like he's a really good young guard who has a chance to develop in the system, and I think he's really going to have a solid season for y'all.
Oh, we think so, too. I mean, we played him up last year as a freshman. I've told people, I mean, it's very hard if you're playing as a freshman at the high school level, and I thought he did a pretty decent job. I mean, it's a really big difference between playing 15 to 18 games and all of a sudden you're playing 25, 26 and you're in region and district play and, you know, stands are packed and all those type of things. He's really, really impressed us this at the start of practice. He's impressed us this with workouts and those type of things. He understands what his role is going to be, how important he's going to be to this basketball team, not only this year, but I think he's also a leader for some of our younger guys. They kind of look up to him. They know the kind of work and kind of attitude that he has, what he does, what he puts into the program and what he puts into himself individually to try to get better. So he's going to be a guy that's going to be counted on heavily. I think he's got a great first step. I think one thing he's going to really help us on, I think he can be as good a defender as there is in the Upper Cumberland. I mean, he really, really concentrates and puts a lot of time and effort into that. So we're excited for Caden. I know he's excited. He's a guy that's in the gym early every day and he stays late and he just can't get enough of it. So excited that he's going to be a part of our program this year and in the next 3 years.
Expectations are always high around Sparta for White County basketball. What can we expect from the Lady Warriors this year? High school playbook rolls on as we bring in head coach Michael Dodgen.
You know, we're going to have to find a point guard and you know, we're counting on Addison Frazier to be able to do that for us. And, you know, she's a kid that's kind of been in the backseat a little bit, playing behind Kendria, you know, for 3 years. But, you know, we're expecting some things out of her and to be able to lead our team and do what she needs to do there night in and night out. Obviously, you know, with Julia, you're losing some rebounding. You're losing a kid that did everything that we asked her to do, night in and night out. So, you know, it's going to take a collective effort to replace the things that she brought to the not only offensive side of the ball, but the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, we're excited about what she's doing, you know, with Tennessee Tech. So, you know, we're replacing a kid that's committed to Tech and done some things there, but we're looking at, you know, Nia Powers to step up big for us again this year. We're looking at, you know, Elena Stiles to fill in a big role for us there. And then we've got a freshman in Celeste Reed that we're looking for some big things out of her.
Nia, I feel like in the first two games has really shown off that jumper that we've talked about before that you feel like she needed to add to her offensive repertoire. And I feel like having a player like her come off the bench, that's a luxury that I think a lot of teams would really kill for.
It's a big time, and you know, the thing is, there's going to probably be some times for us that she would be in the starting lineup. But, you know, her coming off the bench, you know, you look at first game we played, she had 22. The second last night, she had, I think she had 10 or 11 last night. So, you know, you got somebody averaging double figures coming off your bench. That's a big spark for your team, and she brings a lot of energy to the game. She has a passion for the game, and she brings a lot of energy to it.
One common trait I've noticed with a lot of your players, especially the posts, have been that there's just so many of them that have a nose for the ball. Wherever it goes is where they typically are on the court. They find themselves around the ball in the middle of every single play. How much of that is just hustle and relentlessness on the court?
Well, as a coach, you would love to be able to take credit for something like that, but you can't take credit for that because that's just a kid having a knack to play for the game. That's something that, you know, we talk about being active and being involved in every play, and that's just a kid that wants to do that. And a lot of times, you know, this is going to be kind of a bad thing for me to say, but a lot of times people ask you the question of, Coach, what do I got to do to get on the floor? What do I got to do to play more? Well, you got to take a look at the people that are playing in front of you and what they're doing, and they're setting the bar high. And this bunch is a different bunch to coach for me. You know, I've told these kids since day one that this team reminds me of my 2010 team at Cannon County. You know, we didn't really have a dominant post player, but we had kids that got the job done, and everybody was about the same size, and we just played and had a great time doing it.
One player that I feel like really fits that mold, and you mentioned her earlier, is Celeste Reed. And I feel like as a young player, she fits that mold of someone who doesn't have to score 20 points a game to make their impact on the game.
Well, Celeste is a freshman coming in that has a lot of experience. She's played a lot of high-level AAU. She played a lot of it this summer and went against kids that were older than her. You know, Celeste is just growing into the game day by day, and she gets better every day. She does. She makes some moves that, you know, you just look at it and just say, wow, how did that go in? And then, you know, and she's still young and still makes some mistakes, but where she makes up for all of that is how hard she plays away from the ball. She just does a really good job of being active. When you go back and watch films and study your team, she does such a great job of just getting her hands on the ball.
When I look at you, you mentioned, you know, kids asking like, "How can I get on the floor?" Is there ever really a better is there a better substitute for just simply playing hard and giving that hustle when you're out there?
There's none. And hey, you got to put in work on your own. I mean, that's the thing. That's what separates a lot of our kids from each other. Is, you know, I've got a group of older kids, and Gracie, Mia, Morgan, Addison, Frazier, you know, and Nia Powers, Elena. They're in the gym all the time. They're working. You know, they're whether it's a trainer or they're just in the gym working by themselves, they're working. And, you know, I mean, I take Gracie for instance. I mean, there's no work ethic better than what she's done, you know, of just getting in the gym and shooting. You know, not being crafty, not going between legs and stuff like, just shooting the basketball. And that's a craft that you have to work on. And, you know, kids that do that have success.
This program has a history, and we've talked about this before, I'm sure, of playing younger players early on in their careers, getting them that experience. Do you find yourself sometimes having to emphasize to them, like, hey, you're going to make mistakes out there, you're going to have growing pains, just be patient, it's all a learning process?
Well, I've always had that. I mean, and you know, I'm not a guy, I respect, you know, your older kids, and I respect kids that have put time into the program, but you know, I was played for coaches, and I've always worked for coaches that you're doing an injustice to your kids if you're not putting the best kids out on the floor. And whether they're freshman, sophomore, junior, or senior, you got to play your best. And sometimes it hurts feelings, and sometimes, you know, kids have to swallow that pride a little bit. But if you're ready to play, we're going to get you on the floor at White County. And that's the thing. I mean, you know, you're going to come in and you're going to make an immediate impact. And if you're not, then we're going to back up, we'll punt, and we'll get you ready. But, you know, those kids that step on the floor for us as freshmen or sophomores, they're ready to go because of what the work that they had done prior to getting to us.
I know for a fact we've talked about this. We've talked about this subject to death, and I'm sure you're probably ready for the season to get going so that we don't have to talk about this anymore. But I think with her being off the court as much as she was last year, I think these first couple of games have really shown how much of a difference a healthy Mia Murray really does make.
Well, Mia's an athlete, and Mia plays so hard. Mia's really hard on herself too. She's that kid that analyzes everything that she does. And, Mia brings a lot of energy to us. Mia's a kid that can guard a point guard or she can guard a 6'3 post player. She doesn't care. She'll just do what you ask her to do. We've moved her some to the point guard some too when we need to give Addison Frazier a breather. But, and she's handled that well. But Mia's just an all-around versatile kid. And, she is healthy. She's healthy mentally, and she's healthy physically because, anytime you have a major knee surgery like that, it's going to take a mental toll on you also. And she has been, far and above healthy on both of those. And it's been a big, big lift for us to get her back on the floor, for her to be able to do the things that we want her to do.
Michael Dodgen, head coach of the White County Lady Warriors. Strong returners back for Livingston Academy, including Lincoln Memorial commitment Matthew Sells. Head coach Jimmy Miller ready to see what his team can do.
Yeah, they've been very excited. Probably the thing that we've noticed the most about them that we haven't seen in quite a few years is that excitement to get back in that gym where, they've been laid up and laid off, where they've not been able to work. And it's been nice. It's been nice getting cranked back up.
Has it been good to actually get back to running full practices and running actual basketball practice instead of just general conditioning, which I know a lot of teams have been doing?
Yeah, it has. It's been nice to get a ball, in there. They can only run so long that they don't get pretty tired of that. And, I feel like you get your conditioning out of the way and you get ready, but still you can be in shape and you're just not ready for when you throw the ball out there and you start going. That still takes a little bit of time, but they've been super excited to get back at it.
With all the new restrictions, I'm curious, Coach, has it been harder to schedule games and tournaments outside of district play? Because we've noticed that obviously schools are taking things a lot very serious with regards to COVID and the new restrictions. Has that been more of a challenge this year?
Absolutely. We're going to have to drive a little further than normal. A couple of us have been able to get in a tournament or a classic here or there and receive a call maybe a week or two later that the administration will let them carry on with that tournament due to COVID worries. And we start worrying at this time of year. You start worrying and thinking about your seniors. You want to get those guys as many games as possible. They've worked hard for you their whole career here, but we were able to get in, and if everything holds through, we've got a full schedule.
How important are those tournaments and games against teams that you don't see every year? Because obviously you guys play in a very tough district and you see the same very good teams every year. But how important is it to see different teams from not just the state, but also, the surrounding areas?
It's one of the more important things, I believe, in your season, especially early. You get guys time to get on the floor, get comfortable. You're able to run some substitutions that you may not run. Once you reach your district team, not only do we have good, tough district teams, we have really tough district coaches. I mean, these guys prepare for you. You can't show up just to play and think that just because you outwork somebody, you're going to be able to win. You've got to outthink people in this district. And, I feel like that we really need those games, those non-district games, to try to work out some of the kinks.
After about a week of practices, because I know obviously you'll probably have practice today, maybe not, I really don't know. After about a week of practices, though, what do you think some of the challenges for this team will be?
Just staying focused. I think we've got a lot of young guys. This will be their first time playing, and they may not be young grade-wise, but they're going to be young with floor time. So staying focused this time of year, staying, not getting bored with the fundamental things that I think that we did not do last year, and we did not have a successful season last year because of that. So we're trying to focus really hard on getting back to the basics and doing those well. And I think that takes a lot of mental focus to be able to maintain that.
I know losing Will McDonald and Aubrey Hollers from last year's group will be another challenge for y'all. And I think some people may look at that and go, well, that's only two players and, other teams are losing more in terms of quantity. But in terms of IQ and energy, I know those two were really integral parts of this team and they were more than just two players for you.
Sure, they were huge. And you can't, it's hard to replace leadership. I think there are few kids that you ever get a coach that are natural leaders. And, we were able to have that, and you miss the intensity from Aubrey Hollers, the defensive intensity, the work ethic, the leadership from Will McDonald. When you lose a senior, by the time they're a senior, when you lose a senior, you feel it the next year. It does not matter what that senior is. You notice it because they impact your team whether you realize it at the time or not.
A few coaches have said this, and I found this interesting, that when you lose a senior or when a really, really good senior graduates, there's not really a way to replace them. More or less, you learn how to adapt to the new players you have. Do you find that to be true with this year's team?
I think that's as true as a statement as you'll find. I think you have to start over more so than they do. I think it's hard. I never realized that, I guess, but it's hard for a coach when you invest all those years into a group of kids and a small group of guys. And then when they're gone and a matter of months later, you're back on the floor, you're starting to build and you don't realize how far away you were when you started with those guys that just graduate. When you start back at those basic things and you're trying to build that group back up, you don't realize, wow, that it's been a while since I've been back here. And it makes you appreciate them.
Looking at returners for this year's team, how is the health of Nick Choate right now? Because we talked a lot last season about how much of an impact he made once he got healthy.
Nick is healthy. He's doing well. I think Nick grew really fast in a really short amount of time, and it was really tough on him to be able to get in here, go the speed that he was asked of early, and be able to stay healthy. I think he had some small nagging injuries that just seemed to keep him off the floor at this time last year. But, we've been talking about that pretty regularly the last week or so, is what a different player, what a different young man that Nick is in a calendar year from this time last year.
I feel like when you look at any team at the 2A level, an injection of height like that, an injection of skill at that position is always a good thing, and he really helped you guys at the end of last year. What part of his game do you feel has improved the most since then?
We're hoping his strength. I believe that he's playing stronger, I probably should take that back. I think mentally, his mental toughness has improved, and that's where he needed to improve the most. I still think he's got some ways to go, but I think that's where probably that we targeted it the most, that he had to get stronger mentally. He's such a young kid getting on the floor, and he seemed like at times early on last year, his arms go one way and his legs go the other. I mean, the kid shot up so quick, and now all that stuff's coming together. He's getting tougher. He's understanding the game. He's playing through a lot of things, and I couldn't be more proud of him.